Welcome into the B Section Podcast. This is a different voice you're hearing on the opening end of things. This is Logan Hill. I'm joined by David Goff. We're going to try to get the job done here today. Kirk came down with some sort of
Yankee-related
illness, but nonetheless, we got a lot to go through here with you today. It's just going to be myself and David on the B Section here today. Before we get started, a word from our sponsor. Today's podcast is being brought to you by the Jolly Farmer Convenience Store. When you think about convenience, think about the Jolly Farmer in Waverly. From the supersized selection of microbrewery beers to the bakery and grocery items, even lottery tickets and that pick-me-up cup of coffee, they have it all for you. Visit the Jolly Farmer, 7 Elizabeth Street in Waverly. It's open 7 days a week. We're here again taping, and I need to know, David, have you been to the Jolly Farmer?
I fear this question every week. No, I have not.
So are you actively boycotting the Jolly Farmer?
No, I just... Okay. No.
Do you know where it is? 7 Elizabeth Street.
I've told you once. I've been there before. Okay.
We're going to keep trying to get David to the Jolly Farmer. I mean, we're running out of weeks in the football season. Maybe we can get him there by the end.
The problem is I love to sleep in a lot, and donuts are usually gone by then. So
maybe you got to become like an Eggo waffles guy. They got them in the freezer there. Okay. I've had some Eggo waffles from the Jolly Farmer before. That's enough about us. Let's get into it. We had rivalry week in the NTL last week. New York football season, regular season wrapping up. PA's kind of turned the page towards the playoffs now. Let's start with rivalry week, and we'll go down to Troy first.
It's your area first, I guess, the review area first.
We'll just start with Troy because Troy officially finishes another unbeaten regular season, wins a second straight NTL title, and really just made a game of it. Made it not a game, I guess I should say, from the opening go.
They did what they did to everybody.
Pretty much, except for the one team they played out of the state this year. While I'm pulling this up right here, the final score was 61-20 Troy, and it was a lot of Troy scores in that first half. Canton didn't get on the board till the third quarter, so make of that what you will. In that one, Evan Woodward goes 6-10 for 90 yards and a touchdown. Brendan Gilliland led on the ground, 8 carries, 126 yards, and 3 scores. Another big old shoe performance for him. I remember he had like a 90-yard touchdown in last year's version in Canton. So another big day for the kind of leader in the backfield for the Troy Trojans. So they take care of business. Canton does get a couple scores on the board, something I don't think they did the year prior. So tough to take away good things in a rivalry game like that.
But it is what it is. Troy is who they are, and everyone knows it.
One thing you and I talked about at the very end of that night is there was not a single close game in Bradford County that night in terms of rivalry week. So Troy, they're going to turn now. They finish off the regular season kind of where they were pegged to be, and now they'll go into the postseason. They're going to be the top seed in 2A. And that leads us to the second seed in 2A, and that's going to be the Towanda Black Knights. They beat their rival while losing. They take back the bronze helmet in an absolute throttle of a football game. So that final score was 55-0, and Towanda led, I want to say it was 27-0. Yep, 27-0 before the first quarter even ended. So that grew to 34-0 and 41-0 by halftime. So you're already in kind of your running clock territory. And I don't know about you, David, but sometimes when we get some of those games that are running clocks, I look up in the third quarter and I'm like, oh my goodness, there's already just 5 minutes left. Like it's a running clock once it happens. Like, and you don't notice. And most of the time, if you're in that territory, those games have been decided already. So that's what they're there for.
But I'm always just hoping New York adopts that rule change sometime soon.
One day maybe. But so that one was, it started out, Towanda got the stop and immediately threw a 63-yard touchdown pass, Riley Vanderpool to Hayden Space. Vanderpool tacked on a 16-yard touchdown and then a 28-yard pass to Tayshawn Garner. Then he ran for another touchdown. So he had a hand in the first four scores. They get a couple more. Riley Slider finished with two interceptions in that game. It was really just I think the line I used in my story was it was a party in Towanda, because after last year, and just in case you guys don't remember, 15-14, Wailusing won it dramatically. They went down the field. They scored the tying touchdown. They went for two to take a one-point lead and then held off the last-ditch field goal attempt. So that was a great game in Wailusing. Wailusing came out on top this year, comes back to Towanda. Towanda left no doubt.
It's kind of a culmination of what Towanda's season has been. Because like I was previewing Athens-Towanda a couple weeks ago, and I was looking at Towanda's schedules from previous years, and I don't remember exactly if they had had a really tough, maybe win this, maybe one win or two win season just a few years ago.
I want to say two seasons ago, they had a one win season. Okay. I want to say I wasn't here yet and you weren't here yet, but this roster, this iteration of the Black Knights has been building towards this.
So, like, you were saying last week that they didn't have any seniors on the team last year.
Last year, they, as far, to my knowledge, they didn't have any. They may have had one.
Yeah.
But like,
so they were growing this entire time.
They have something like 14 seniors that all play meaningful snaps for them this year. So this was one of those, the group was coming and they just had to get to senior year. So it's been a great senior year for them. They're going to be the two seed. They're going to host a home playoff game. Them and Troy both are going to play Friday night. Tawanda will host Bloomsburg. Troy's going to host South Williamsburg. We'll get to that a little bit more a little bit later. The other rivalry game in Bradford County last Friday night was the Rusty Rail. And David, you were there.
Yeah, 51-6 Athens final. It didn't really play out that way in the first half. It was 16-6 at halftime. Athens had the lead. It was 14-0 Athens after the first quarter, and then they just kind of got in a rut offensively. The only points they had in that second quarter was a safety. That made it 16-0, but Sarah was able to get off the mat a little bit, and they were able to get a touchdown drive that ended with a 25-yard pass from Carter Green to Declan Berry, and it was 16-6. They didn't get the 2-point conversion. But I was like, all right, it's their last game of the season.
I was surprised to see, because you sent me the halftime score, it was 16-6. So I was like, oh, okay, this might be a game. And then to see the final, I was like, okay, so it went all Athens.
So the very first offensive snap of the second half was an interception into the hands of Connor Davidson from Athens. He ran the back 55 yards. It was 23-6 Athens, just like that. And then the offense just rolled. So I had him down as five. Connor Davidson in the first half was 5 of 19 and through the air, and had like the last seven passes of that first.
Was there 19 passes in the first half?
Yeah. So the second quarter, that's why the second quarter was all weird for them, because they were throwing the ball a lot. They were throwing a lot of deep shots, and there were a lot of drops. That wasn't pretty on Athens' side, but it culminated in seven straight incompletions to end the first half for Athens. So it was just a rough, rough moment for them. But in the second quarter, or in the second half, Davidson completed all five passes for 98 yards, and they were, you know, off and running. It was 35-0 in the second half. So yeah, they rolled, and Athens kind of had a really encouraging second half going to end the season, to get into the postseason.
Yeah, so Athens and Canton, I might have missed it when I mentioned Troy Canton. Athens and Canton are both qualified for the postseason as well. They're Canton's in Class 1A, Athens in Class 4A, right?
Yes.
4A. Yeah. They're both going to be the fourth seed of a four-team bracket, so they both got to go take on the top-seeded teams in their bracket. Before we turn to that kind of playoff preview, we want to do a couple minutes on them. There was two other games in the area, and that was Tioga and Waverly on the New York side of things.
Yeah, so Tioga, they're 4-3 going into this one against a 7-0 Deposit Hancock. So it was one of those moments for Tioga to, like, they're the three-time defending state champion. Can they make a bit of a statement? Jake Brown sure did. 421 rushing yards, 32 carries, scored all eight touchdowns for Tioga in the 56-28 win. Just a monumental win for the 2024 Tigers, because they've battled a lot of injuries, and they were coming off a 50-6 loss to Waverly, which, you know, Waverly's doing that to everybody, but they needed a win that felt like themselves, and they really got that in that one.
Yeah, just a response. Like you said, they had that week against Waverly. Nothing really went their way, right? Mm-hmm. The final was lopsided. And then the thing that's so interesting to me, what's the number you said, 426?
421.
421, okay, so I gave him an extra five. But that's what's so interesting to me is he was not supposed to be their lead back coming into the year, right? They've been kind of decimated by injury.
He was the boys' soccer goalkeeper last year. He wasn't on the last time he had played football. He's a senior. The last time he had played football was his freshman year. So it was supposed to be like Logan Bellas and Brendan Sandoni, and those were the two main guys to start week one. Logan goes down with an injury. He actually returned in this game, had 13 carries for 50 yards. So that's a big.
That's good to see too.
And he's a different kind of back where Jake Brown is the big guy, can roll through people, and Logan is the more elusive kind of guy. So now they have the stylistic.
There's
guys
Logans,
back.
They can be pretty elusive.
Brendan Sandoni is out for the season with an injury. Shea Bailey was out with an injury for the rest of the season after the Waverly game. So they're really just trying to search for it. And apparently they found it. Jake Brown has really stepped up into a big role for them. And now they have a chance to go into Bainbridge Guilford on Friday and win a division and kind of get themselves back into a very good spot for section playoffs.
Yeah, and it's been kind of a wacky season, right, for Tioga in the fact that, like, this is just not what they've been used to the last couple of years. So to get a big win like that and have a big individual performance, I mean, I'm sure if you talk to him or someone talked to him, he shouted out his offensive line because that's part of it too, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
to just go get the job done. The other game in New York that's relevant to us was Waverly.
Yeah, they handled Lansing 48-0, and we've mentioned it a couple times. Waverly and Troy are like the same teams, but in different states. They handle business.
Tell me what needs to happen to sanction that contest, and I will pull whatever strings seriously. I can pull, because I just want to see it.
Yeah.
I want to see how it will go. I mean, they both are kind of red and white based uniforms, so we'd have to figure that out.
They're JV teams. I don't know who won. Their JV teams just played each other a week ago.
Okay.
Ben Shaw had two incompletions. That's new for him. He was 9 for 11, 96 yards after completing 20 straight passes over three games. The other part of that was Colson Keithley had three rushes for 106 yards, and Fletcher Good had 12 rushes for 100 yards. So they're just handling the business, and they host Whitney Point tonight on Friday to end the regular season against the team that they should do what they've done to everybody else this year.
So, I mean, really just a really good go of things. They have the one loss to Maine Endwell this
year. Yeah, and that's nothing to hang their head about.
Other than that, they've just kind of handled business. We've been saying the phrase handled business a lot the last couple of weeks, but that's what some of these teams are doing, and that's what Waverly's going to set themselves up to really go into the postseason rolling. Yeah. Speaking of the postseason, let's kind of look at it. We talked about it around it here for a couple minutes. Four NTL Bradford County teams make the postseason. That's Troy, that's Towanda, that's Canton, and that's Athens. Canton is going to go to Muncie on Saturday. The other three are going to play on Friday. Troy's going to host South, a team that they've already beaten. I think the final score was 43-7. I'm going to try to look that up right now. Right, but that was earlier this season. It's going to be a rematch of that game. Expect Troy to kind of be able to handle business. Troy to be able to manage themselves and kind of find a similar result, barring something crazy happening. Because if they win that game and the team in their area of the bracket on that they would play next, so to speak, is Southern Columbia. So they would be set up for a semifinal game instead of the finals this time around.
I didn't even put that together because Tawanda's the two seed.
Tawanda's the two seed. They're going to play Bloomsburg, a team that I don't know too much about. I think that Tawanda is going to be really charged up. It's a home playoff game. They haven't had a home playoff game in a long time. I don't know the exact number, but it's been a while since they've won a postseason game as well, as far as I can tell. So really just kind of, you said the word culmination earlier when we were talking about them. They've been building towards this moment, and that's what I got the chance to interview with Various Farrell after the win against Wyalusing, and I said to him, so my first media day, not this past fall, but the fall before, the two speakers for Towanda, the two athletes for Towanda were Riley Vanderpool and Various Farrell, and I got the chance to talk to them, and I was like, oh, what are your guys' goals for this year? That was last season, of course, but they're like, we want to host a home playoff game. We want to make the playoffs. We want to host a home playoff game. That didn't happen last year. Maybe the Wyalusing result is what flipped it for them, but that same group, most of that same group has come back, and they've done it this year, and they're going to host one, potentially another, if they're able to win. So, but Troy played South. That was September 6th, so almost 2 months ago. Yeah. By the time this game will happen, 43-7. And it was another game where Troy just was ahead by the half and was able to just kind of coast the rest of the way. So I'm going to pull up the brackets right now. But so that'll be Friday night. Troy will play South. South, I mean, comes in. They've played a bunch of the Bradford County NTL schedule this year. They have a decent running game. They got a couple of young backs. They can throw the ball if they want to, but
they're not quite the same district or state semifinalists that they were last season.
No, and it's Troy. That's such a cop-out answer, but they've done nothing to give you a reason not to feel confident about saying that.
Great analysis.
So I've tried to look around and find out a little bit about Bloomsburg. I don't know a whole lot about them, but you'd think that the chips kind of fall into... Well, I can't pull up this bracket because I can't get the selection right. There we go. You think the chips kind of lean to Wanda's way, just having a home game. Bloomsburg's not exactly just a skip down the road. It's going to be a little bit of a hike for them. So that game is Friday night at Towanda, 7 o'clock. Troy and Towanda both playing at home at 7 o'clock on Friday. great for stretch thin sports writers to try to get multiple places. But luckily, we've got something figured out for it. So Bloomsburg, the 7 seed, Tawanda, the 2nd seed. If Tawanda's to win, they'll get the winner of Loyal Sock Warrior Run, another team from further south in the district that we don't know a ton about. But I think the matchup everybody will be watching, and probably a lot of people in town. Hopefully, for the sake of neutral football fans, they make the second round games on different days if Troy and Tawanda both advance, because a lot of people are going to be getting to that Troy Southern Columbia game if it was to happen. Southern Columbia will get Hughesville in the first round, a team that's played that won against Wide Losing and actually just beat Muncie to end the season, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm gonna try to double check on that. The other two teams we have are Canton and Athens. I'll turn it to you. Just kind of, what do you have any inclination? I mean, Athens is going to go and take on the number one seed in 4A.
This is kind of the same exact thing that happened for Athens last year. They get into the district playoff, but they have to go on the road to face the number one unbeaten team in their class. Last year it was Danville at 3A. This year it's 4A. Shamokin, 10-0.
Just won their rivalry game for the first time, I want to say, in 29 years. Shamokin did.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so Shamokin's having an excellent season, and I don't know. I don't want to say anything that's like predictive or whatever, but it's going to be tough for Athens because they improved from last year with a young team, but it's still a young team. And I think Shamokin has a little bit more of an upperclassman situation.
Yeah, Hughesville 28-27 over Muncie. So that was a thriller to end the regular season. But no, and it's in sports writing, you do your best to avoid cliches as often as you can, or at least not overuse them. But the Athens game is kind of a makeup of like a David versus Goliath kind of storyline. Not to say that Athens is a bad football team. I don't think that. I mean, they qualified for the postseason. They're going in feeling good, having beaten Sayre in the Rusty Rail. But Shamokin is kind of might be that area's version of Troy this year, right? Like 10-0 is 10-0. So it's going to take. You still got to go play the game, but it's going to take a gargantuan effort, you would think, for Athens to leave there and keep the season rolling. Canton is going to go play another top-seeded team. They got to go down to Muncie. Muncie was rolling. They rolled through the regular season 8 straight wins until they bookended the season with losses.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that they just lost.
I don't know whether that's a good thing for Canton or a bad thing for Canton. Yeah. So Canton, I mean, they got a couple of wins before coming into the old shoe to get back to level. I want to say they finished the regular season 5-5. I hope I'm not misspeaking that. I'm going to double check that real quick. But just they got to go play the top seed. And the story of Canton this year has been, how do we get the stops on defense? And unfortunately, they haven't found a lot of reliable answers. They've had some injuries in the linebacking unit, on the lines. So they have the playmakers. They can make the big-time plays. They've shown that they can kind of hang around in a shootout. Yeah. But I think the question of this one is, can we control or at least hope to contain some the Muncie running game.
Well, that's the thing. You talk about the offense and shootouts and all that. It goes right back to the Athens-Canton game. That was 48-42 in favor of Athens. Like, both teams, Athens, that was like the key Athens win of the season. But it's been tough for both teams to stop other offenses. And that, and when you're having trouble defensively and you're facing the number one seeds, it can be tough.
And in that game, Canton was without its middle linebacker. And I want to say it was missing a couple other players too. But you miss your middle linebacker, your run defense is going to struggle. So that was Dawson Burgess. I believe he's back. I believe he's healthy. But it's just, they got to go on road trips to open the playoffs. They're the lowest seeded team in their brackets. Like, nobody is picking them to go on to win. But hey, that's why it's the playoffs, right? You got to show up. You got to play one game. One thing I did think was interesting, I did a couple of notes when the brackets came out on Sunday. The trip from Athens to Shamokin now, and this just kind of makes sense because Athens is further north than Canton, but still, it kind of goes to show how big the district is. Yeah. Athens to Shamokin is about 2 hours, 2 hours and 5 minutes at the shortest. Canton to Muncie is an hour. So both fourth seeds, both going to play the top seeds, but Athens has got to go an extra hour south, and it's still all just within the district. District 4 seems to be really, really big. So other than that, I mean, those are the two teams outside of Class 2A that are still going. And then you kind of probably would like Troy's chances to at least get to a district final and kind of see where the chips fall from there. The big game to watch for them is going to be if they're able to get through south, do they get the rematch with Southern Columbia?
That's going
to
be more anticipated than the district final itself, probably.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm just imagining a world where Towanda and Troy somehow, somewhere are playing for the district final, just because I think that would be a really cool atmosphere.
Yeah.
I think they played this season, so and with that result, you would think that Troy would probably be the favorite and would reach the state playoffs.
Who knows, maybe this district final, it's raining again, it's the
Pit. Yeah, so we won't look any further ahead than that, but I think it could be a really exciting next couple of weeks in playoff football. If you're, I'm going to say specifically if you're a Trojans fan, and then once we get to New York side of things, if you're a Waverly fan, they look like they're playing really well right now. And then maybe even Tioga hits stride at the right moment.
Again, two of the three losses Tioga has this year were against teams above Class D. So they're still there.
That's really all that I have football-wise. It's going to be a big week. If you're going to go out to games, get there early so you get a good seat. Hopefully you read some preview stuff from the Daily Review in the Morning Times or checked out this podcast to kind of get ready for it. Other than that, a bunch of postseason action across other sports. A lot of teams have wrapped up their seasons. Troy girls soccer wraps up. They played Monday night. They lost to Hughesville 4-0. While losing, lost to Muncie 2-1. Athens girls, what was the final?
They lost 5-0 to
5-0 to Shikalemi or Shemokin?
Shikalemi. I still want to mispronounce it like I did last week.
Shikalemi. So that was an Athens doubleheader. Athens Shikalemi doubleheader.
Yes. Yeah.
Girls lost. The boys ended up winning. And 1-0. They played in the district final on Wednesday night.
So on Wednesday night, I was down in the Williamsport area for Athens boys versus Sealands Grove. We were just talking about the weird schedules and all. It was kind of a tough situation where Athens volleyball was also in the district final at 6:00 in Williamsport while the boys were playing at the same time, and I elected to go to the boys' soccer game. I wasn't really comfortable with that decision. I just had to go with one or the other.
You had to make a choice.
So I was at the boys' soccer game, and it was 0-0 after the first half. Matt Dreisball, maybe 4 minutes into the game for Athens, had a really nice shot from the top right corner of the penalty area, around that area. And the ball went to the top left corner of the net, but the Sealands Grove goalkeeper got his hands in front of it, and it forced a corner kick. And that really was, I would say, the strongest chance Athens had at getting a goal. They had other chances, and there was one late in the game where the ball might have crossed the line, but the official was in a weird spot. I don't know. At any rate, that goal, if it counted, wouldn't have given Athens much of a chance to win because it was like 3 minutes left, and they were already down 2-0 as... Yeah, like I said, it was 0-0 after the first half, and then an own goal 5 minutes into the second half gave Sealands Grove the lead. It was kind of an unfortunate thing where there was a cross into the penalty area, and Athens was trying to clear it. Ball bounces off the foot in the wrong way, goes in the net. It's 1-0. It's deflating, demoralizing. 10 minutes later, Sealands Grove scores off of a corner kick, pretty much directly off the corner kick. So it's 2-0, and Athens and Jake Lezak said as much. Like, the one thing they really struggled with this year has been putting the ball in the net. When you're down 2-0 in the second half, it's going to be a really hard hill to climb. So Athens ends their season in the district championship. It is Jake Lezak's final game as the coach for Athens, and he was saying how, despite the loss, his kids made it special by the way they were playing. He said they were fun to coach, and it was just like, you know, I'd rather lose in the district championship than the final game of the regular season.
For sure. And just a run, because that's not to say that they didn't have a good season, but I don't think at any point this year people were looking at Athens and being like, this is the top soccer team in the league.
I want to say they're 9-8-3 to finish the season. That's nothing
wrong. And they go on to play in a district final.
And to be fair, too, Sealands Grove, the number one seed, was right around the 500 mark, too. So like, it depends on the kind of teams you play, too. They might have just been playing hard competition and all that. But yeah, just kind of a tough end to what was generally a good season for Athens boys soccer. The game of the night was the one where I was not at. It was Athens volleyball. They were playing Shamokin in the district final.
District finalist advancing to the district final after a 4-11 regular season.
Yeah. Yes.
Won. They advanced. Won their first district playoff game. Very cool story.
Yeah. And, I can't remember who they swept whoever they played in the first round. I can't remember who it was.
I want to say it was Danville, but I'm going to double check.
It was Danville. So what happened with Athens volleyball? Shamokin wins the first set. Athens wins the second set. Shamokin wins the third set. Athens wins the fourth set. So you go to the fifth set. You play the 15 points, win by two there. Shamokin comes out hot. They're up 10-2. Athens goes on a 12-3 run. They're up 14-13. All of a sudden, they have championship point despite being down 8 points in a smaller set. unfortunately for Athens, Shamokin goes back and gets the final punch, three straight points to win the match, win the set 16-14, and win the match in five sets. They move on to the state playoffs. Shamokin didn't have a volleyball program 2 years ago, so that's a really cool story.
Yeah, this was themselves. I was gonna say, Athens fans, Athens faithful might not like to hear it, but that was Shamokin's first ever district title. Yeah. So that's a cool story.
It's a cool story. It's a heck of a heartbreaker for Athens volleyball. So again, they, despite winning only four games in the regular season, like they won a tournament. They were second place in another tournament. They showed moments where they were really a really good volleyball team. They just had some more inconsistencies than they would have liked. They come to the district playoffs and they are 2 points shy of winning the district title. So it was a really good run, and you're up 14-13. You're thinking, oh, they have it in the grasp, but just a bit of a heartbreaker at the end of that.
All of their wins this season were sweeps,
yeah,
including the win over Danville. So 5-12 overall finish when it's all said and done. But yeah. I just was looking, all five wins were sweeps, which is an interesting tidbit, I guess I'll say. Elsewhere, I mean, I think we've touched pretty much everything. Volleyball district finals, we're taping on Thursday. They're tonight. Mm-hmm. So they'll have gone final by the time you're listening to this tomorrow.
It's going to be Cannes versus Northeast Bradford,
an all Bradford County 1A district final. I'm excited to see what that one's going to look like. And then Troy's going to play Wellsboro NTL district final in Athens. I like that it's not too far away. Makes my night just that much easier. But, I mean, so that'll decide who goes on to the state playoffs. So yeah. I think it could be Northeast Bradford won the district last year. I want to say they were in 2A a year ago because I believe they beat North Penn Liberty, yeah, I think. And they've since dropped down, so they're going to get Canton, the team that they've played a couple of times this year.
I saw Canton. I covered it for the review. I covered Canton and Northeast Bradford win their semifinals on Monday. Both teams were fun to watch. I had a lot of fun watching Northeast Bradford. They have a couple of tall girls that are just, you know.
Yeah, so Abby O'Connor kind of dead there in the middle for them. And just that's so there's three players. Look, I don't know a whole lot about volleyball, and you and I have had plenty of conversations about this, David. You know a little bit more than I do because you covered some really good volleyball teams when you were down in North Carolina. Yeah. So you get accustomed to it a little bit more. And I've learned since I've covered the last 2 years. I'd done like some volleyball on the radio when I was in school before I had this job. There's three, I want to say three teams. It's Troy, it's Northeast Bradford, and I want to say Wellsboro. And I'm going to double check so that I don't get the one girl's name wrong on Wellsboro. But they have three middle hitters, I believe is the positional term, who are just, I stray away from the word force, but that just feels like the right word. Ariana Andrus for Troy, Abby O'Connor for Northeast Bradford, and then Paige Logston for Wellsboro. And when they play each other, when Wellsboro plays Troy or Northeast Bradford plays Troy or Northeast Bradford plays Wellsboro, I enjoy watching the mind games of it all. Is okay, we can't go straight through the middle. We got to try to go around her. We got to try to tip it over her block attempt. We got to try to feint and make it look like we're going to go hard and just go soft. But so I think a lot of good volleyball is going to be played going into this. So there's no way I can tell you to go out there and see it because it already happened. So hopefully you went out and you checked out some volleyball at Athens on Thursday. Two teams will advance on to state playoff games. They'll be district champions. Other than that, the only other thing I think locally is PIAA cross country state championships are going to be this weekend down in Hershey. I got a press release in my email this morning from the PIAA. More than 1,600 student athletes are going to be running in Hershey. So obviously that's not all District 4. That's not all Bradford County. But
it's not all.
That's a lot of runners. So. Yeah. I think Creed Dewing's probably going to have a good chance to medal from NEB. He won the district final. A bunch of other athletes advanced from the NTL from District 4. So it's going to be a good weekend of running. Hopefully they get some good weather conditions. And then I think the big thing is like after the district meet, you see a bunch of the kids with chocolate bars and stuff like that because they're going to Hershey. So we'll see how much chocolate they get.
As someone who grew up 10 minutes away from Hershey, it's fun when people are like that.
Look, man. You grew up lucky. What can I say? I don't have anything else local.
The only other local thing is Waverly Girls Soccer. They're still playing. They are in the section championship against Shenango Forks and Aniana on Saturday. It looks like it's going to be a 3:30 start. So it's Waverly has a chance to win the section title, and they are playing a Forks team that they had already beaten 2-0 and 1-0 this season. So they're the number one seed, and Waverly is, and so they have a good shot at getting that section title.
I'm sure I've probably asked this before, and just the way things shake out, like I don't do too much of the New York school coverage much anymore. and I never really got a postseason with them. Section is basically the same as district.
Yeah. I would say section is a little... I mean, it is the same thing. Section and districts are basically the same thing. Section
playoffs, New York to PA is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, section playoffs are a little... I would say a little more involved than district playoffs just because there's usually more teams in the bracket.
Okay.
Like we're saying, like Athens volleyball, so maybe a little bit, soccer, maybe we're in 14 brackets.
Maybe a little bit longer. So instead of maybe four games or four and total
it depends
games.
On the class. Like I think even the high in section four, which is where Waverly and Tioga are in, like the class AA and class A, which are the two biggest classifications. A lot of those brackets tend to be only semifinals or just a championship game. But like when you get down to Waverly and Tioga's levels, those are full on brackets most of the time. So
yeah, I mean, if this lasts 30 minutes, I'm surprised we were able to do 30 minutes on it. But if that doesn't show you that there's a lot going on and it's a lot of important action, it's tomorrow. I mean, you're going to be listening to this. It's going to be November 1st. So we're into the postseason. We're fully there. Football is on the precipice. All the other sports, for the most part, have gotten there already. Golf wrapped up a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Now they start first, so that makes sense. But it's really, I mean, it's getting chillier. I mean,
It's warm today.
I was going to say that might not be true. It was actually very nice
75
today.
Degrees last year.
I'm wearing a t-shirt. But it's the best time of year for fall sports. If you can get out while you can. I don't have anything else local. We're going to talk to the Jolly Farmer, and then I believe David has a Philly Minute for us. Today's podcast is being brought to you by the Jolly Farmer Convenience Store. When you think about convenience, think about the Jolly Farmer in Waverly. From the supersized selection of microbrewery beers to the bakery and grocery items, even lottery tickets and that pick-me-up cup of coffee, they have it all for you. Visit the Jolly Farmer, 7 Elizabeth Street in Waverly. It's open 7 days a week. All right, Philly Minute time. Let me get the clock ready for you. Zero's on the clock and go. Philly Minute time.
I'm over the 76ers.
I know, me too. Why, though?
Because they're basically lying to the fans.
Will Embiid play this season?
Yes.
This regular season.
He will play sometime. It's one thing to be like, hey, he's not going to play the first couple games because they're managing. Like, I get there's already people being mad about that and like, why can't you be? But it gets to like, he was supposed to play against the Pistons. So like, oh no, he's going to be out. We'll check him again in a week. Like, tell us what's happening.
Yeah. Do you want to know when he's going to play?
When?
November 9th against the Lakers. That's going to be his season debut. Okay. Everybody comes back to play against the Lakers, but this is your minute.
Yeah. It's just frustrating because, like, the Paul George thing is about we know he's
injured
hurt.
In the preseason.
We know he's hurt. If Embiid's hurt, just tell us. We know his injury history. Like, it's not a shock if you tell us he's hurt.
I think the thing, I don't know, and I'm not as tuned into Philly stuff as you are on a day to day basis, but he did play in the Olympics, and then so this is just a weird to see the start of the season. He's not.
I don't get it. I'm over it. I love watching Tyrese Maxey play.
I was gonna say, they played 4 or 5 games now. How are they looking?
They lost to Tobias Harris and the Pistons last night. So yeah, that's great. They're 1-3. They had an overtime win against the Pistons or against the Pacers that Maxey had 45 points in. That was fun, but they also should have won that in regulation. So it's been tough. Anyway.
That was time.
Okay.
Do you have another Sixers thought? I'll let you carry on.
Not any other Sixers thoughts.
Yeah, I don't have too much on that. I haven't been too keyed into the NBA. I kind of picked that up in, I was going to say late October. I guess that's today. Can't get any later in October.
Literally November as people listen to this.
But I normally pick that up once the NFL kind of winds down a little bit.
It starts with Christmas Day.
Christmas Day is the big one for me. The Lakers have gotten off to kind of a good start. I want to say they're 3-2 through their first 5 games. LeBron and Bronny, whether or not you like the story or not, I think it's cool. It's here and it's here to stay. Bronny got in last night. They went back to Cleveland.
Yeah.
I believe he just played garbage time minutes when the game was already kind of decided.
Did the Lakers win?
No, they lost. He was in the final 2 minutes. They were down like 20.
Okay,
his first career bucket.
Oh, okay. So, I was gonna say, had they won though, then they'd be 2-0 with Bronny on the court.
Yeah, no, I think 1-1. And I didn't check, but I saw his first career basket, and that was with like 2 minutes to play. They were down 20, so I was like, that's why he was in, because I was like, oh my god, why do they have him playing crunch time minutes? But that's a cool story to go back to the city where, I mean, he's 19 years old. I want to say I don't think he's any older than that, and he grew up on those hardwoods with his dad the first 10 years or so of his life, probably.
The second some iteration of, them in of Miami. The LeBron and Cavs.
Yeah, so, I mean, when...
Well,
the first and the second.
Technically,
he was older. He would have been like a young teenager probably during those second Cavs years, but that's a cool story. I don't have too much else on the NBA.
No.
Sounds like teams are shooting a lot of three-pointers, which is like...
Which is unfortunate.
What have you done to my beautiful game?
I
like a three-pointer as much as anyone, but there's a time and a place for them all.
You were too young for it, but like the early 2000s basketball was, I wish we would go back to that.
the only story I can tell from that was one time I watched this was a couple years back, but it was like a rerun, and it was the 1999 NBA Finals with the Spurs and the Knicks. Completely different game than what the game looks like today. Like, and I don't know. I mean, I've liked basketball all my life, so I've seen it change. I've seen different iterations.
I missed the mid-range shot. Like, I just missed that being a normal thing.
Long twos, baby. Long twos. I don't have anything else NBA-wise. I'm not keyed in hockey at all. Is there any major? I know Ovechkin's kind of starting to creep up for the Capitals.
I don't know what number he is with his career goals, but I was listening to the Pardon the Interruption podcast on the way to Wellness Sport yesterday, and they're saying
Mike Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser. Yes. Great guys. I've met Mike Wilbon before.
That's cool. My dad and I love listening to that show, but apparently, when I was listening to them, they were saying that, like, they're asking this. Ovechkin going to break Rusty's record this year. So apparently he's in shooting.
I want to say distance. It's like within 40 goals. Guess is 38. I'm going to look right now. But is there any other thing? I mean, I know you're probably tuned into the Flyers, but.
The Flyers are the Flyers. They're rebuilding. They're not going to be great, but they had a really fun win against the Wild. I don't know. It's not worth talking about on this podcast, to be honest.
Fair enough. Ovechkin currently has tallied, I hope this is accurate, has tallied 1,557 points, 857 goals, 700 assists in his professional careers. That's not giving me the answers. How many goals is Ovechkin behind Gretzky? Ovechkin, 39, entered this season needing just 42 goals to break Hall of Famer Wayne Gretzky's NHL record.
Apparently, so, he's off to a better start than he was last season.
This says Capitals star 37 away from tying Gretzky. This was 23 hours ago. So, in all likelihood, he gets that this season, barring injury or something like that. Very much a hockey novice over here.
I would say it's not all that likely. 40 goals is a lot in the season.
Okay, so then it's going to be a tough thing to do, but if anybody could do it, it's probably Ovechkin.
If he's playing beyond this year, he's going to get it.
Yeah. Other than that, baseball wrapped up officially last night.
Kirk!
We sent out a, where are you? We tried to find him. He came down with the Yankee flu. He is open to hearing from all 30 teams, much like Juan Soto. Now, these are all verified by Kirk. You can find him and ask him. But I'll turn it to you, David. I'm sure that you were more tuned into this series than I was, just being a baseball fan. I know you said you kind of wish that there was a way that both teams could kind of lose at points.
Yeah, but...
is this the better ending for baseball?
The fact that the Dodgers won?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So the thing is, the Dodgers have won 10 of the last 11 divisions, NL West division titles. They have the one World Series championship in 2020 through that whole thing. That was the Mickey Mouse year. The people, I don't know if I really subscribe to that argument that it was like
the COVID year, the 60 game regular season.
I don't know if I subscribe to the fact that that was a fake World Series title, but I understand why.
Do you think the Lakers title was real? Sorry, this is an aside. I just need your answer.
Yes, I do.
Okay, cool. Because
they played a whole season.
Thank you. All right, we're cool. Go back to baseball.
But the Dodgers deserved a real full 162 title. It's kind of funny that it happened now. They were the number one seed in the National League, so it makes sense that they won. But they had a lot better historic seasons leading up to this year where they just choked in the postseason. This year, they finally get it done. I'm actually happy for LA in that sense because, like, they don't have to worry about people like discrediting them. Like, they won this one for real.
And some really exciting games to get it done. Yeah. I mean, obviously they have the grand slam in the bottom of the 10th in game one to come back and win that. Freddie Freeman won World Series MVP, rightly so.
Up until game five, he had six straight World Series games where he had
and
a
that
home
dates
running.
Back to the last time he played in the World Series.
And the
right?
When the Braves beat the Astros in the 2021 World Series.
So he wins World Series MVP. I think it's pretty cool for Shohei to get a ring in his first year after with another team.
So
after
it's like Matt Stafford.
Yeah, after being the greatest baseball player ever for a team that just could never make the postseason.
I will say, I feel bad for Kirk. Like, we were talking about it after they won game four. We were talking about in the office on Wednesday. Like, it's like, all right, they showed some fight. Just if they lose in game five, it's whatever. But don't tease me. Just have the Dodgers up early.
Well, that's the last point I was going to get to is the Dodgers. I think that was the largest comeback ever to win and eliminate to win a series
clinching
game.
They were down six.
They were down five.
It was 5-0. So
I think I saw that run across the bottom immediately after I was able to flip it on and see the final three outs for the most part.
Yeah.
This was what I was going to pose, and I was lining it up when it looked like the Yankees might get swept. And now your opinion might be different of this, but considering the fate of the three teams that typically matter to the three of us that sit at this round table, the Yankees, the Phillies, and the Orioles, as an avid baseball fan, trying to remove yourself from your fandom right now, which is the worst postseason result in your mind? You score one run in the wild card round and get swept at home. You lose to a division rival that you were better than offense. All season.
Yeah.
With it, you didn't really ever get it going, and they were the team of destiny at that point.
Yeah.
Or you make it to the World Series, you finally get to where you've been trying to get to so hard, and you pretty much lay an entire egg. Which of those three, in your mind, is the worst scenario?
It's not the Yankees.
Okay.
The Yankees are interesting, and people are right, and I kind of agree that they kind of had an easy ride to the World Series. They played the Guardians and Royals, who were good teams, but the Yankees were just better than. The Yankees are also just getting used to a whole era where they're not winning titles all the time. But most people...
Such a shame.
Most people would be like, you know what? It was a good season. We made the World Series. It's heartbreaking. I experienced this 2 years ago when the Phillies made the World Series. But oh, that was a fun season anyway. The Orioles is such
That's fine. I was just curious. I was curious what your take would be.
No, I'm kind of thinking through it right now. The Orioles is abrupt. That's as abrupt as you can get.
That's kind of, to me, the Orioles and... Look, if you ask me, it goes football, basketball, and then probably baseball.
Yeah.
It was sort of just a rip the Band-Aid off.
And they weren't playing well
exactly.
down the stretch.
I didn't live and die with every pitch of the regular season. So for the postseason to come and go in 2 days, it just kind of was what it was.
And because the Orioles were not playing well the second half of the season, I have to say the Phillies were the worst way to lose it. Because they were the... Up until the last week of the season, they were the best team in baseball pretty much the entire year. And then you play the Mets, which is hyped up, big time rival, and then they don't show up except for one game too. But offense was lifeless. The bullpen was terrible. Everything went wrong at the worst time possible. So I was really sad as a fan, but it was also terrible.
Thoughts and prayers to Kirk Lovinson. Don't worry. The Yankees will be back, but Juan Soto will strike him down when he's a Los Angeles Dodger next year. I have one last...
Probably going to be a Met, which is the worst case scenario.
One last baseball question for you before we turn. I don't have anything else. We'll talk on the couple minutes on the NFL. 2025 World Series winner. Oh, way boy. Too early World Series winner.
I don't know where
pick
to go one. With this.
Pick somebody. I think the
Baltimore
Dodgers go back to
Orioles.
Back. Oh, thanks, man. All right, I'll take that.
I'm being a little facetious when I say that, but also they're still really young. They're still really good.
They got to
figure it out.
So the big story for them now is, does Corbin Burns come back or does he go somewhere else and just take more money and join
championship roster? The one thing why I could say the Orioles, and I don't know if I truly believe it, but it's a real possibility because when I saw the Phillies win the World Series in 2008, that was a year after they got swept in the playoffs for the first time in my life. So
I don't think I'm out of bounds to say Gunnar Henderson will win an AL MVP before his career ends.
Definitely possible. He was part of the reason why the Orioles were bad the second half of the season. He wasn't very good.
But he was so good at the start that water finds its level.
They're so young. They have such a big window to get something done.
So let's talk a couple minutes NFL. We'll start with the Pittsburgh Steelers, as much as it kind of makes me grit my teeth. But Russell Wilson, 2-0, wins over the Jets and Giants since returning to the starting lineup. I said last week, I was a fool. I looked like a fool. I actually heard a perspective on an interview, I believe it was with Albert Breer on the Ryan Russillo podcast. I was listening to their interview the other day. And the way Breer set it up was, if we go to, and I'm butchering this, but basically, if we turn to Wilson, at least we didn't leave that bullet in the chamber, so to speak. And I don't think that was verbatim what he said. But you went to Fields, Fields was kind of working, but then you would never know with Russ. So then if it works with Russell Wilson, then maybe you keep Fields around after Wilson's done in the league or whatever, because he's not a spring chicken. I mean, he could probably play another few seasons. He came in that same draft as Andrew Luck and RG3, who aren't good examples of still in the league quarterbacks because they had injury problems that kind of ended their careers abruptly. But so I've just kind of turned the cheek on that. I'm very concerned about Russell Wilson being a great Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback because they really haven't had one in a while, and it's been kind of a fun story.
They're two losses, right?
Yeah, they're 6-2. Yeah,
they're
6-2.
Safely ahead in the division.
Safely.
So, but I mean, they're not safely, but they're one game clear.
But again, I say this to say that they beat the Jets, the most dysfunctional team in the NFL, far and away. And then they beat the Giants, who just need to blow it up. They've kind of been sitting in purgatory for a couple years. Before that, they beat the Raiders, who the Ravens did get beat by the Raiders. if you've learned anything about the Ravens, as good as they can be, they can also lose to some bad teams. Then they lose to the Cowboys. They lose to the Colts, who benched Anthony Richardson, which I don't. We're not going to get into that today. I think that's a foolish decision. And other than that, who else did they play to start the year? I think they started 3-0, so you can't take that away from them. They beat the Falcons 18-10. I think we talked about it last week. They just have that defense. So if they can just get competent offense, you're not that worried about them. They beat the Broncos 13-6 and then the Chargers 20-10. So a good football team. Their next couple games, they play the Commanders, who we're going to get to here for a minute. They play the Commanders. They have a bye this week. The Steelers have a bye this week. They play the Commanders on the 10th. Then they host the Ravens. Then they go to the Browns, Bengals, Browns, Eagles, Ravens, Chiefs, Bengals to end the season. So they kind of got a gauntlet the rest of the way, all their divisional games, and then the Eagles and the Chiefs and the Commanders also in that stretch. So who knows, but they're looking good right now. Played a lot, I guess, of their non-divisional, maybe non-marquee games. Other than that, the Eagles had their best win of the season so far, in your opinion?
It looked like 2022. Like, really, it did. And I hopefully that was the start of them actually
the championship DVD.
Yeah.
I think it's Soupy. We talked last week. I said I was thinking Soupy and then the Ravens go and lose to the Browns and you said, oh, I'm not there yet, but if they win, then they win by 20 points.
I'm much closer than I was last week, and I was like, but the biggest thing is Jalen Hurts has not had a turnover in 3 games. And they're very good when AJ Brown and Devontae Smith are on the field and Saquon Barkley is on the field. The offense looks like what they should look like, and the defense maybe isn't going to be a disaster, which felt like it at times throughout the early part of the season. So I'm pretty happy about it.
They are on a bye this week?
They're playing Jacksonville at 4:25. It was actually a Sunday night game that got flexed back to 4:30 because the Jaguars.
That's true. Sunday, November 3rd. Okay, so they play Jacksonville 4:05. What is the Sunday night game this week?
Vikings-Colts.
Okay. And then they'll play the first rendition of Eagles Cowboys in Dallas Sunday, November 10th.
Be a good birthday present for me if the Eagles get that one.
Yeah. I don't have my crystal ball here, but I can just see that not going your way.
I mean, sure.
It would just be too on the nose, right, for the Eagles. But hey.
Cowboys Eagles games, doesn't matter who's good, who's bad.
Exactly.
If it's in Dallas, I'm scared for my life.
But that Eagles Bengals game, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, it was 17-17 at one point. Or at least close like that, 20-17, something like that.
It was 10-10.
Okay, maybe it was. I was surprised to see the margin it became by the end.
But there was the one touchdown. I think it was 17-17. I'm misremembering. But there was the one touchdown. I think that made it 24-17 Eagles. That was like a 50-yard bomb from Hurts to Smith in the end zone. I don't know how Smith caught that, but it was the first touchdown the Eagles have had in like 2 years. So I'm like, oh my god! Like it was that kind of play.
So we cried our tears for Kirk, the Yankee flu Kirk has today. His Bills are playing really well. They go out to Seattle, get a ho-hum 31-10 win. That's a week after a 34-10 win, a week after a 23-20 win over the Jets, which that was a Monday night, so those don't really count. They lose to the Texans 23-20, Ravens 35-10, that was a couple weeks ago. Before that, 47-10, 31-10, and then 34-28. So in their wins, they've looked like the best team in football. The offense has played really well. I think, and I could have this wrong, I'm not looking at the numbers specifically, I think Allen has probably become the MVP favorite after the Ravens fall to the Browns.
He did. It was an interception for the first time.
Yeah, so he kept Mr. Kirk Levinson can't say no turnover, Josh, or whatever it was. But looking ahead, they play the Dolphins this week in Buffalo, so you'd like them when they're at home to probably get that hot weather Dolphins team. Then they get the Colts, who are in the middle of a quarterback change, Anthony Richardson to Joe Flacco. Then from there, it gets a little bit tougher. Chiefs at home, Chiefs in Buffalo, 49ers in Buffalo, at Rams, at Lions, home against the Patriots, home against the Bills, or I'm sorry, home against the Jets. At the Patriots to finish the season. So that 3 week stretch where they go Chiefs, 49ers, Rams, I'm sorry, it's a 4 week stretch. Chiefs, 49ers, Rams, Lions is going to tell you everything you need to know about this Bills team this year. So I don't have anything really crazy on them, but in their wins, it hasn't really mattered who they've played. Like they've just, for the most part, looked pretty good.
Yeah.
So Amari Cooper, I think, has worked out. Keon Coleman's kind of going through a little bit of a midseason breakout. And then James Cook has been kind of a touchdown machine at points this year. I don't have. Oh, Hail Mary. How could we forget? The 425 game from last week. Bears, Commanders. It was billed. It was number one versus number two. Yeah. Upstart team versus upstart team. And let me tell you, the game was ugly. It was very ugly. It was a 12-7, maybe. I think maybe 12-9 or something like that late in the game. Yeah. Very ugly. The Commanders had moved the ball but hadn't finished with touchdowns. They were up 12. Yeah. The Bears get a crazy play to get a crazy flag to kind of get a free first down and score the go-ahead touchdown with 30 seconds or so to play. Commanders get a couple of shots at it. They come out. They break off a chunk with a Terry McLaurin out route. Setting up the play. So Jaden Daniels takes the snap. Look, you've probably seen it if you're a football fan, right? You've probably seen it. Jaden Daniels takes the snap, goes one way, comes back the other way, finds time to set his feet, throws it, wide open guy in the back of the end zone. Well, pandemonium.
Sort of wide open. He just happened to catch a deflection.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. Nobody was with him.
Yeah.
It was like, who forgot that guy? So
Tyreek Stevenson forgot to play the game.
The story goes that Tyreek Stevenson might have forgot that guy. I'm not in the Bears meeting rooms or anything. I don't know whose responsibility technically Noah Brown was, but this is the other thing you've probably seen from that game. Up and through the snap, Tyreek Stevenson back turned to the ball, jawing with
fans,
Commanders fans in the stands. Doesn't turn back till guys are coming down at him. It's a Hail Mary. You're like, oh, they never complete these or anything. So not only does that happen, he runs over. He gets into the scrum of the play.
It hits his hand, doesn't it?
Gets his hand on the ball for the most part. It might not have just been him, but he was involved in the tip-up, and it ends up in the hands of Noah Brown for a game-winning touchdown. The Commanders fans are all riding high. Being from Maryland, I know a lot of Commanders fans. And that was just an electric moment. And number two gets the best of number one this week. Caleb Williams, not happy after that one. But the roller coaster run for the Washington Commanders kind of continues. Other than that, I think that just leaves us with our locks of the week. David, I'll let you start. I'll try to get mine, and then I'll try to get one from Kirk right here. I don't know why I just Googled locks trying to find the NFL.
One Commanders note is I understand and that the Commanders are a good football team now, and Jaden Daniels is exciting, but I'm not, like, scared of them in the NFC East.
You have to see him play the Eagles first, right?
There's that, but also two of their wins combined, only one miraculous touchdown. Like, it's not like Jaden Daniels has some.
What's the other one?
The Giants. They won a game where they only had field goals the entire day.
Okay.
This one, they didn't have a touchdown until the very final second of the game, and that was off a deflection off of Hail Mary.
You know how this is setting up,
yes,
right?
I do. And I'm not saying that Jaden Daniels is a bad quarterback. He might very well win Rookie of the Year, deservedly so. So, like, he's got to be a good quarterback, but, like, I think the hype is a little too much at this point in time for the Commanders. So
I would say he's probably the favorite to win Rookie of the Year. So, maybe maybe the team itself is flying higher than its sails, but... Good. Lucky for you, we'll get our answer in a couple of weeks. Yeah. The Commanders and Eagles are going to play Thursday, November 14th, and then they're going to play again on December 22nd.
See, that's also tough. The Eagles have the Cowboys and Commanders within 5 days of each other.
We're going to find out a lot about this NFC East race. Other than that, we just have locks of the week. I said this was going to be a quick podcast today. Here we are, 52 minutes on the nose so far. So,
who needs Kirk?
I just texted Kirk for his lock. If he gets back to us, we'll get his lock. David, what is your lock of the week this week?
The Ravens need it. So I'm going Ravens over Broncos.
Ravens playing at home against the Broncos.
And I think the Eagles are actually more of a lock than the Ravens are. But I'm just saying the Ravens to not pick the Eagles every time.
I'm happy to report that barring anything crazy, I will be boots on the ground in that one.
Okay.
I just got a text back from Kirk, and you will like this one, David. Ravens over Broncos. Ravens at home and need to get last week's bad taste out of their mouth. They'll put it on Denver. Ravens are the lock. So, Kirk, if you have made it to this far in the podcast as a listener today, just know that it's another week of you and David kind of seeing eye to eye on Lock of the Week. So, that just leaves mine. I will
better than our Bengals take at the beginning of the season.
Yeah. Where do I want to go with this? This is a interesting slate of games. I will go with, the Texans are playing the Jets tonight on Thursday Night Football. That's not my lock, but, I will take the, where do I want to go with this? I think I'm going to go with the Vikings over the Colts on Sunday Night Football. I think
you really don't like the Flacco.
I don't know. I like Flacco. I just think I think he's a good serviceable quarterback still, even as he's reached extra veteran status in this league, but Vikings at home,
they
it's
also
kind of
need
been
it.
A turbulent
they
week, a couple
it.
Of weeks for them. They need a big win. That defense is scary. I like the Vikings in that game. I don't have the records in front of me. I believe
the Vikings have their only two losses in the last 2 weeks.
I was talking about our personal lock records. I believe we're all over 500. I believe I won last week.
I don't know what Kirk picked last week.
And you guys might both still be unbeaten, so to speak. Yeah. I mean, you are picking the same games every week, but who's counting?
Not every time.
For the most part. But that's really it. A little bit of a different show.
Hopefully we get Kirk back on here.
Hopefully we get Kirk back. Kirk's got some new schedules, and we're trying to figure out when and where is the best time to get us all together to do this. But it's going to be, to just circle back to the high school aspect of things, it's going to be a really big couple of weeks, a lot of postseason action. Get out, get to newsstands, get a copy of the Daily Review, get a copy of the Morning Times. Check us out here. You can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts. We're approaching 1,000 all-time downloads. It doesn't feel like a gargantuan number, but that's a lot of people that are tuning in, and even if it's the same group of 20 people that habitually listen even every week, David's dad, thank you for listening and being one of our listeners. One more time from the Jolly Farmer. Today's podcast is being brought to you by the Jolly Farmer Convenience Store. When you think about convenience, think about the Jolly Farmer in Waverly. From the supersized selection of microbrewery beers to the bakery and grocery items, lottery tickets, and even that pick-me-up cup of coffee, they have it all for you at the Jolly Farmer. 7 Elizabeth Street in Waverly. It's open 7 days a week. I don't know if it's open probably something like 7 to 7 or something like, I have no idea. Maybe I'll get David to go do some recon on that before we tape again next week. But that'll do it for us from the B section. Have a great week. Check us out on newsstands and take care.